managing your legislative office, since the Senate's in session, we lost half of our panel. But Representative Jack Serra is one of our members. He is the assistant minority whip, and his aide is Pam Wilson. And Representative Kyle Kaler, his aide is Alexa Green. I would just turn things over to them, and feel free to please ask questions again. This is designed to be an interactive session, too, on things that are really important for you when you're managing your legislative office. So thank you.
Okay, I guess that's me. Not used to Democrats going first. Welcome to those of you who are here. I am Representative Jack Serra, and my aide Pam, who I could probably just get up and leave and let her do this because she runs the office. But, you know, I came in 1982 before computers and email and all the things, and used to come back to Columbus and have a stack of letters, you know, to the young people. That's that paper thing that comes in this guy in a blue truck delivers it. You know, times have really changed. And we tried to put together some little notes that I think are on the table, just some ideas about that Pam put together, and she can address a little bit. But, you know, Pam and I go back a ways, and something that's unusual in the term-limited era is not only having members around very long, but also having staff that's around. And Pam actually worked for me 10 years previously, so I'm fortunate to have had an aide, the same aide, now that I'm back this time for about 15 or 16 years. So that doesn't happen very often. And I think the key thing as you move forward in setting up your office is developing that relationship with your aide, because they are your, they're certainly an extension of you. And some offices, some of you, you know, you may have two aides, you may have one. If you're a Democrat, you're going to have one. And you're dealing with, what, about 125,000, 130,000 people, and you can be surprised at the amount of information that you have to deal with. But, you know, I think the thing you have to keep in mind, number one, is your constituent service. You know, that's what will get you back here. You know, to me, in our office, constituents and the way I learn, your constituents are always number one, and you got to go the extra mile to serve them. And with that, I think you'll see, you know, you get inundated with email. First of all, you'll have your personal state rep email, then you'll have your rep or Senate district email. If you don't put your state or Senate or your rep or Senate email on your phone, because you'll be filled with thousands of email in a matter of a couple days. It mostly comes in by email now, and you can really, it's important that your staff filter those emails for you. You know, for us, it's if it's a constituent from the district, you know, that's number one. And you'll see different kind of email. You'll get the form email, just like you had the form letters. It'll come in because they're part of some organization, and you can respond to them, in my opinion, in a way that is more of a form letter response, and you can do that. Once you get that first one, you can create a response, and then your aide can then send that same response back. The individual emails that are specific to a specific problem that person's contacting you about, we try to either Pam we'll call them or I'll email them if it's on a legislative issue. I'll email them. Sometimes I'll go ahead and call if it's a more difficult situation, just because, or if they're angry, just because it's a lot easier sometimes to discuss issues with them over the phone and have that conversation. And people really appreciate the fact that you're willing to take the time to reach out on the phone. And then, of course, phone calls, and nowadays they send you those on email too. So, I think it's key to try to deal with these specific individual constituent messages in a timely fashion. Sometimes that can get behind you, but you want to try to get to them as soon as possible. And what I try to do when I get emails about specific legislation, and I learned this early on, is you try not to make a commitment on a specific bill unless you're really 100% sure that you're on that bill. You want to kind of take a broad response to that as you respond to constituents, because you never know what form that bill is going to take later on in the process. It may be something you're totally for, and then some things get added to it that you're not quite happy with and you've already committed to. I always like to, and Pam does this as well, is leave that wiggle room to you, so you're not totally committed and that you have to then come back after you've sent them something, say you would support it. So I, y'all keep your views. Thanks for contacting my office. This is an important issue. I'll keep your views in mind. We always try to say where the bill is at the time. It's just been introduced. It's in a committee, give a little, but keep it very general. I wouldn't recommend giving out your private email or your personal phone number. My home phone number is in the phone book, and why I have a landline, I don't know, because we keep voting on bills to do away with them. But somehow people still manage to get those, and I'm very protective of my personal phone number. So you that's up to you. If you want people to be calling your cell phone all the time, go for it, but I wouldn't recommend it. I think it's important as an office that you know when you come in, you have to know the liaisons for each department, because you're going to need to talk to those people as you get calls from constituents, whether it's ODGFS or taxation or some of the other agencies, EPA, some of the ones that you're going to get contact. And the liaisons are vital that you develop a relationship with them so they can help your office deal with the constituent issues. And believe it or not, lobbyists can sometimes help with that. In my area where there's a lot of oil and gas drilling, we get called about, pipeline work and different things like that, and it's helpful to be able to have a relationship with the lobbyist who represents a company that your constituent is dealing with. So I really recommend that. And, of course, our friends at LSC, who do a great job, can be very helpful. Of course, you use them in drafting bills, but also a lot of times you'll get people contact you about issues, and you'll think, maybe that's a good idea, and I would recommend before you go getting a bill drafted for every constituent idea that you get, to take a little time, and sometimes they can do research for you and give you the background that can provide you help in responding on some issues. So it's very helpful to them. Finally, I would just say that you have to watch in your work in your office. There are certainly times have changed over the years, but there's a lot of, there's lines that you shouldn't cross in your office. Certainly you all know that there's an official side and there's a political side, and there's prohibitions against office staff doing political work. You have to be very careful with that. They can't schedule you. They can schedule your events, and if during it happens to be a political event, they can help you with scheduling, but you have to make sure that you're careful with that. And I think that there's lines to be crossed just in how you use your staff in a professional way. These are professional people that are to help you. I don't use Pam as a somebody to go get everything for me. She's a professional, and I treat her in a professional way, and she's not there to go. And other people do this differently, but I don't ask her to go get me lunch and all the things like that. And I think that, you know, it's just like any other office nowadays. You have to treat people in a way that you want to be treated, in a way that certainly is a professional way and doesn't violate any laws. So with that, I'll stop and let the others go.
Woo. My name is Kyle Kaler, state rep for the 79th district. Currently serving beginning of my second term. Okay. Legislative aides are very important. No, you spelled legislator wrong. Seriously.
You all knew what was written on.
I wrote that she didn't provide notes to everybody in the room. State Representative 79th District serving, finishing my first term. Congratulations. You've obviously done a great job in getting here. I'm going to warn you right off the bat, you're about to enter the most strange, busiest 6 months of your life. If you haven't, I don't know, Representative Boggs, I know, has probably already gone through this, but starting in January, you're going to have people pounding on your door of your office. Your legislative aide is going to be a key in helping you navigate that, but get ready for meetings every half hour, on the half hour, every day that you're here for a while. People want to meet you. They want to see you face to face. They want to connect with you. Some of them will be lobbyists. Some will be people that are concerned about issues, but it's important to get to know those people, because sometimes you're going to get in the midst of something and you're going to need their help. That's one thing. The other thing's the budget. A lot of times you're going to feel like you're being carried through this with your feet sort of touching the ground. And the next 6 months are going to be very strange if you haven't gone through this before. It was for me. Background is, I'm a local businessman, run a manufacturing firm, have a little bit of experience in government, but this coming from the private sector, this was all new to me. And so running an office where you have, instead of 20 employees, I have 119,000 employees, that's a little bit different. I want to talk more about the legislative aid because of how important it is. You cannot do this job on your own. You're going to need to work very closely with your legislative aid. He or she is going to be the one. Where are the legislators at? Where are the new? I know some of them, but I don't know all of them. Okay. And how many have picked a legislative aid at this point? Because almost all you have. Good. I cannot do this job on my own. And my legislative aide, Alexa Green, is very important in doing that. She is my second aide. My first one lasted a year and a half before she left to get married. When I took on my legislative aide, the only thing I ask of them is that they serve for me for at least a year, because I didn't want that constant turnover. I'm the legislator that stood up on the House floor when I said goodbye to my first aide, and I think I scared the speaker, because I got up and I said, before I, you know, say goodbye to her, I want to apologize to everybody in this body. And I thought that they were afraid I was going to say something bad. But I used to make fun of the, I don't know if you've watched the legislative sessions online, but I would always laugh at the people that were like, you know, I'm saying goodbye to my aide. She's wonderful. She does. I'm like, they open letters and, you know, answer the phone. What, you know, what's the deal? Obviously, much, much more important. That was my fault. Your aide is going to help you. Obviously, as Representative Sarah said, work with your constituents, but my goodness, you're going to have them, they're going to be the closest person to you beside your spouse. When I go back home, some of my wives will ask me, you know, why did you vote on that like that? And I'm like, that's right, you're not over here. Well, your aide is over here, and they're seeing what's going on. So they not only know where you're at and where you stand on things, but they also know all the other politics that goes on. That goes on in the House. So they are the ones you're going to rely on when you're over here for insight. If you think you can do the job on your own, you can't. These are young men and women, or most of them are young men and women who are starting out, and they have ambitions as well as you do, and you have to realize that. One of the things I'm going to say is, if you want to be successful, make sure they're successful. I realize Alexa is not this. When she graduated from Ohio State, she didn't say, this is my dream job. This is why I went to college. I wanted to be a legislative aide for the next 30 years. So I know I'm here to help her, and that's the commitment I've made to her. If you help me be successful, I'll help you be successful. Make sure they realize that you're on their side. for me, Alexa came from, she was a page in the Senate for 2 years, and she came to me. She is very good with constituent services to the point that, and this is where I'm going to go off of what Representative Sarah said, that balance of when you're communicating with your constituents and when she is, she did so well. My first aide would bring me almost everything. She was so good that she was taking care of problems, and there was one situation where I'm in my district, and this individual comes up to me, is praising me about how wonderful it was that I fixed his problem, and started asking me, how did you do it? And I'm looking at him going, I don't know who you are, I don't know what your problem was, and I didn't fix it. And I actually had to go to Alexa and say, could you just start writing down, if you fix something for somebody, write it down. Because, you know, it was embarrassing. It wasn't her fault. It was the fact that she was doing such a good job that I realized, wow, I need to know that. Another thing is I hope you get your legislative aides back in your district so they know your district. My first legislative aide was my campaign manager, so she had spent a lot of time in my district. Alexa didn't get to do that, but she spends more time coming back to my district more often, so she gets to know that area. I know I had the local 402 president call in the midst of about 75 calls on something, and he was very gracious by saying, hi, this is so-and-so. I don't agree with the bill, such and such. Please don't vote yes on it. And then when I went into the district, he came up to me and said, I called you and you didn't call me back. Well, it was one of 75 calls. He didn't say who he was. So make sure your aide knows your district, because that way she knows, oh, that's so-and-so from the president of Local 402, because that's something that can happen. You want to be in on those calls, whereas when 75 people call with the exact same message, she may just bring me, you know, 75 people called about this issue. Here's how they feel on it. So make sure that they know your district and get them back into your district, even if it's far away, if there's things they can come back for that are official business that they can help with, and getting them in your district is so very important. I'm not going to repeat a lot of the stuff that Representative Sarah said, but I will end with this. When I sat where you were 2 years ago, I didn't know who I was going to hire as my aide. I had a campaign manager I was looking at, but I didn't want to just hire them for that reason. And there was a legislative aide that sat here and talked about the word trust. Your aide has to be someone you can trust. I've heard other legislators, everywhere from one legislator that locks his office door every time he leaves his office, and his aide does not go in that office unless he's there and it's unlocked. I don't know why. I don't know what the issue is, but you've got to be able to trust your aide. Another aides have said, you know, that these individuals are just there to report to our appropriate leadership what we're thinking on, and I don't think that's the case. I know that's not the case, but you need to be able to trust your legislative aide. They're going to help you with bills that you're working on that maybe nobody else knows about. I want to be able to bounce ideas off of her, so that maybe it's the first person to hear this idea I have. The other thing I'd say is you need to be able to explain. Alexa's never owned a house. She's just started paying taxes. She doesn't have children. She's not taking deductions for children. I've got 5 kids. I've been doing this for, I'm 55. I've lived a lot of life. There's some things that she hasn't experienced yet. If I've got a bill that I'm passing on property taxes or income taxes, I need to be able to explain that to her. If I can't get her on board, then I'm going to have trouble getting my constituents on board and my other members on board. So that's important that one, you can bring them along, but let me go back to trust. You've got to be able to trust that she's on your side, or he or she is on your side. And I do that with both of my aides so far. I've had that blessing. If you don't have that blessing, work on it or find a different aide, because you got to have somebody you can trust over here at all times. So that's what I would say is if you haven't picked an aide or you have picked an aide, make sure you develop that. Do all you can to nurture that so that when things get rough and you don't know who's on your side over here, there's at least one person you can go to that you know is working for you. So I won't repeat what the representative said, but that's what I would offer to you today.
Well, I'm Pam, and I've been an aide for 30 years. Now, I was here once, and I left, and I worked in personnel at the Historical Society, but I missed it. And I think, just like you guys are public servants, if you have, if you like constituent service or you like helping people, this is a great job to have. So I came back and, you know, I'm fortunate enough to work for Jack again. But every office is going to run differently. It's like each member is the mayor of their own little island, and every office is going to be different. But my strength, I think, is constituent service. I do a lot to help keep him elected, because to me, that's job security for him, which is job security for me. So I brought things today to show you guys. I have commendations, obituary letters, newsletters that we send out. I do a notebook of accomplishments. Every time he's in the paper, it's in a three-ring binder. Some of the things that don't qualify out of the paper for certificates or commendations, we've created our own postcards because I'm crafty and I like to do that kind of stuff. But again, all that is getting your name out, which of course is going to get people familiar with your name, which will help get you reelected. So my strength, again, I believe, is public outreach. I do have to say one thing. I know that he just mentioned that, like, to get your aide from your district. I remember back when Jack said he didn't hire his aides from the district because if you have a problem and you have to let that person go, it could come back to bite you. So I'm not from the district. But, again, every office is different. And when he said about don't give out your personal information, for instance, if you give it to the media all the time and they call you on a hot topic issue, you might want a few moments to figure out what you're going to say. So don't give it to them. Let them come to your aid. Ask them what the question is that they want answered. Ask them what the deadline is. And then that's what I give to the representative. And when he logs on to the district email, and if he's going to take it upon himself to answer some of those personally, then he CCs me so that I know he responded, and then I can file them away. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, Kyle, when people come up to me in the district and tell me I help them, I just say, you're welcome. I'm sorry. But then I let Pam know that how great they said that she was and helped them out. So that's the easy way to do that. But I'll defer.
Okay. I'm Alexa, like Kyle or Representative Kaler said. I'm his aide. I don't have the 30 years experience that Pam does. I have about a year. but thanks for letting us speak today. I think the first thing I have written down is an aide's job description can be summed up as make your member look good. I think a lot of times you're the face of the office to a lot of people in the district and even to lobbyists and liaisons. And so I think that your aide should have that attitude at receptions and events, that you guys are a team, and it doesn't look good if there's rifts in the office between you two. You want to, like Kyle said, you want to be able to trust that your aide can handle those types of conversations and things like that. Kyle lets me use my touchpad on his phone. So you just don't want to have things to hide between you and your aide. It's very important. I have over-communicate. There are a lot of times that I'll be like, I meant this, but I said this. And that's really helpful because I don't ever want him to think that I'm doing something that he wouldn't approve of. Okay, this is funny. I have ears on the ground written down because, as you all know, this is a political job and politics happens. And we had a tough conversation about 2.5 weeks ago where it was not fun, but just had to talk through some stuff going on in the office.
Let me share that because she won't share. She won't share it all the way. I asked her when I first hired her. She has a great disposition. She obviously came from the Senate. I asked Senator Obhoff how she did, and what I got back from her office was she's very good with constituents. But coming over here, your aide is going to help you with legislation. It's very important that they have that ability, that desire. If they're just here to answer the phone and, you know, try to, again, just make you look good in your, they've got to be able to help with legislation. Alexa's very good at doing that. What I was concerned about was that she would not be able to stand up to me and say, hey, I think this is where you're not right. And a couple weeks ago, we were going into a committee, and she said, I need to tell you something. We sat down out in one of the galleries, and she said, I think when you did this, you need to do it differently. And that was huge. I went, and I get my wife flowers on a regular basis, but I went down to the thing, and I sent her flowers to her office. I said, thank you for being bold, because I need that over here. I want somebody that's willing to say, you know what? I think when you did this, you needed to do it a different way. And that was one of the I actually called her back in when I interviewed her specifically to ask her. I said, can you give me an example where you stood up to somebody in authority or somebody you had to go to ask a tough question of? Because I wanted to make sure she could do that. And she did that 2 weeks ago. So that's what she's trying to explain. I didn't want her to think she couldn't explain it all the way out.
thank you. Yeah, and the reason why I know those things is because I pay attention to what happens around the house. We're here every day. You guys aren't. And aides talk. And sometimes it is a little bit like high school, but you got to be able to have your aide pick up on those things and then share them with you. And I have written down, don't shy away from hard conversations if they will make your member and the office better. And I think that's very important. The last thing I have is have fun. We have a lot of fun. We laugh a lot. We make a really good team, and I was just telling Craig and Jason earlier, we were on the phone on Thanksgiving Day talking about legislation, and I came back into my aunt's kitchen. She was like, who was that? And I was like, my boss. And she was like, for that long? You guys were laughing a lot. But yeah, we do have fun together. I like when he's in the office. Days that you guys aren't here aren't as fun and are very long. So, yeah.
This job can get very frustrating. There will be days that you'll not want to do this. You need to have a team here. The other legislative aides, I've taken time to know them. I'll share this. When I hired Alexa, my daughter was working over in the Senate as a legislative aide, and I said, do you know who Alexa Green is? She goes, I haven't really talked to her. She's a page. We don't really talk to the pages. And I'm like, I do. And she goes, Dad, you're different. Get to know the people. I remember I took a Farm Bureau, took a candidates class from the Ohio Farm Bureau. It's very good. And one of the people said, you know, when you're campaigning, get to know the janitors at the facilities you're at, because they're the people that do everything. I have made it a point to get to know the other legislative aides. That is very, very important, because you're going to be working with their bosses. I'm not asking them to tell me something they shouldn't tell. I get to know them, because they're the access to their boss. It's just very, very important that you treat these young professionals as the professionals they are. I like what you said, Jack. They are professionals. They are not secretaries. They are young people that are on their way to doing great things. So you need to be able to do that and work with the other legislative aides.
Couple things I thought of I wanted to mention, and this came up, this kind of became something I do because I would contact, there was a local elected official years ago, and I won't say his name, but he's retired now. and every time I would call him about something locally that I would get contacted about, he would say no. I don't think you say no to a constituent. I always say, let me check into it. And then when I find out I can't help them, then I tell them no the next time around. But at least you've given them some idea that you're trying to help them. And I think they appreciate that. I mean, not to be that you're being dishonest about your ability to help them, but you're showing that you're actually going to look in. You may know that what they're asking for is not possible. I think it goes a long way when you take that little extra step to say, let me look into it for you, and then you find out officially that you can't do anything, then you let them know that. And your aide can be the gatekeeper to your office in a way that, I guess I'll say this, but, you know, there's at times certain lobbyists can be kind of irritating, and maybe you want to let them know you're not happy with them. And one way to do that is, and I pretty much meet with everybody, but you know, there's times I will shut the door on them and not let them meet with me. And your aide can be that gatekeeper to, you might not have to tell them that she can just, he or she can just tell them, you know, he's not available that day, you can meet with me. And that's a way also to kind of send a little message to people sometimes. We don't have fun in our office because I'm known as Grumpy Jack throughout our caucus. But, you know, so. Questions, I guess.
Question. I guess two questions. One, how do you guys handle scheduling and calendars? I mean, coming into this new, you know, I have my calendar, my wife has her calendar, we have a calendar we share, I have kind of a, what's been kind of a campaign, you know, now kind of official calendar, now it's going to be added an official state calendar. How do you guys handle that as far as, you know, when my aide is scheduling me, you know, he's going to have to know, you know, even if it's something that's purely personal, say right. That time isn't available,
right.
And being able to just kind of have that access and have that ability to schedule. So that's maybe my first question. And my second is, you know, you talked about getting back to the district. And I guess my question is, now is that considered part of official work, right? That if you wanted to leave Columbus for the day, come up or go down to the district and attend events, go around with me or either on your own just to do some different things and get to know the district. Does the House consider that part of your official duties? Do you have to take time off for that? How does that work practically?
Well, the scheduling, you know, they have Outlook on their computer,
yeah.
And I have Outlook on, you know, on my iPhone. And you can set that up with your aide to schedule. You can put all of your dates on you, your wife, your personal stuff, and just have it. We coordinate with that. I'll put some stuff on there that if I know I'm going to be out of town and I don't want to be scheduled, I put that on there, and she can see it. And she'll put stuff on there. So, you know, you just work that out through, that's the best way that I would say, through using the Outlook on her computer, their computer, and on the phone, and you can determine what all you're putting on there. And that's the best way to do that, I find.
Work stuff is, you know, the House stuff, I'm going to mostly take care of. I mean, if he's in the district and he schedules a meeting, it's going to be on there so that I can see it. But when people are calling the office, if they're calling from the district, I'll look at the calendar and I'll say, well, it looks like Mondays and Fridays are best for district meetings because usually you try to keep Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday up here for committees or session. So I try to schedule things Mondays and Fridays, and I'll tell them I'm going to put you on the book, but if there's a problem, I will let you know. And then I just double check to make sure. There's been a few times where he may have scheduled something, but it's not on the calendar yet, and then I have to call the people back and, you know. But if you have three or four calendars, I worked for a member once that did that, and it's really, really hard to do because it's not getting on all four calendars. And we finally got down to the one that is shared by both.
I use the whatever the Apple calendar is, and you can bring that up and have your House calendar on there. But I've got other calendars that all mingle in there. And Alexa sees that. My wife sees that. Everybody sees my calendar. I'm 55 minutes from the district, so I have certain things that she knows about me. There's a coffee shop across the place from my business, and she knows that 9 a.m., 9:15, or 9:30, if she schedules something any morning that I'm in the district, I just walk over. She scheduled it for that coffee shop, and I walk over and meet them. So that's sort of she knows she has that time to schedule for me. She also knows I like to be here when schools come through, so if I can arrange to be here, I'll drive over. That's just a something for me. Don't do that if you live far away. I love to be here when the kids come through. It's something I'm committed to. I did youth work for a number of years. I like to be able to talk to high school kids or elementary school kids. It's something I do. So she knows that. She knows when I'm going to work. I have another job. I do that job whenever I can. But, yeah, it's just working that out. What was the other thing?
About being in the district.
we'll let the admin answer that.
I want to piggyback on the scheduling. I'm so glad you asked this question. Because in human resources, and Craig and I tag team on this, and Ramona, the number one complaint we get from members is scheduling. And you guys can attest to this, that if the schedule's messed up, there's nothing more frustrating to a representative who's late for a meeting or misses a meeting. It's very embarrassing. And it's really important, really important subject to work out with your staff person. And that's where your staff person is so critical on a job. So to develop something with your staff or to get your calendar straight and how you're going to do it and the expectations of your staff is so important. Because they're only going to do what they know, but if you have a certain way you want it, it's so important for you to establish your routines. And I love it that you've got this standing thing. She knows I've got this coffee shop, and that's just my go-to place. And you two are, you're like you're married. You already know. You guys are so insane. You already know what you can do. And I hope that you all will work with your aides so much that you've got your schedule so well in sync, too. Because that's like, it's like the number one part of this job. Right.
And you garbage in, garbage out. I've got a docked a physical schedule for Monday. All of a sudden, Chairman Brenner decided to schedule education committee for lame duck on three sessions on next week. One of them on Monday, right at the same time I got the doctor's appointment. Thank goodness I put that in there, because if it's just in my head, she's not going to see that. And I need her to be aware of that. So make sure you're adding to your calendar if you've got things. If I've got something that's political that shouldn't, I just put I'm going to be somewhere, blocked out so that she knows I'm not going to be there, that I can't be there for some reason. And that's for her to figure out. But I need to let her know that.
The other, just one more point on scheduling, I think it's really helped me, is if it's a district meeting, you're meeting with a constituent or a local official, having your aide put their phone number on the with the appointment, because if you're running late, if you don't know where the heck you're, well, I don't know where you're from, but I have three counties. I can, you get turned around. Well, you GPS might not work, whatever. And it's really helpful to have that phone number of who you're meeting with, so you can call and let them, if you have cell service, call and let them know, you're a little late or you're on your way.
Yeah, you're going to get very busy. I know I asked Alexa to do that. It's like, in the calendar event, there's a note section.
Put as much as you possibly, have your aide put as much as they possibly can. Names of people, why you're there, what it's for. I'm going to the 4-H event. I don't know if I'm giving out awards. I don't know if I'm getting an award. I don't know. If you show up and you think it's for one thing and it's for something else, you're going to look really embarrassed. But as much as you can in that note section, and you'll think, well, I'll remember that. No, you won't. 4 months from now or 2 months from now, I've got something I'm supposed to be at for a 4-H event in February. Today I know what that is. February, God forbid, I don't have no idea why I'm going there. So.
His second question, Kim, I think you better answer.
So
I had a round table with Auditor Yost on a bill that I worked on that was passed and signed by the governor, and I had her come and run the round table, be there to take notes, and it's a great opportunity for them to know your district. Like I said, my first aide knew it because she was my campaign manager. I will warn you this, if you own a manufacturing firm, the same car that they take out is the same car that OSHA drives. So if you have a family business and that car pulls up and your brother starts running around your manufacturing firm scared to death because OSHA just showed up, you might need some.
It was me. It wasn't.
Okay. It was. It was funny. Other questions? You're going to enjoy this. Congressman Jordan told me when I took this thing, he says, you're going to have fun. So enjoy what you're doing. It's an opportunity that very few people get, and it's a privilege.
Oh, you're going to tell the Tiberius
story. I would just say, back to what I said about the constituent work, and one thing Pam didn't mention is, you know, I, of course, get the local newspapers, the hard, you know, the actual paper, if you can get it, because a lot of times she'll find things in the newspaper that I might not see, an event going on, a festival, something, and she'll go ahead and put it on, let me know about it, or put it on the calendar, you know, and we do commendations for, you know, anniversaries and all that stuff, but also, you know, find out if you're invited to something and are honoring somebody, you know, it's nice to show up with a commendation, and they do sell the folders for them. But I guess maybe I'm cheap, but I've gotten to the point where I go to the craft store when they got frames on sale for $5 or $6, because you're going to pay about that for the folders, or $4 or $5 probably, and you can buy a nice cheap frame for $5 and use your campaign money for that, and you can put the commendation in a frame and show up. And if your senator's there or your representative's there and they don't show up with a frame, you make them look bad, and that's always good. So it's, you know, running an office, it is different than probably anything you've ever experienced, because the things you're going to, depending on your district, you know, if you live in a city, you might not get as many calls. But when you live in a rural area like mine, we get called on just about everything, most of which aren't related to legislative issues. They're related to a lot of local stuff. So, you know, get prepared for all kind of different things, and, you know, have a good time with it. The legislative work is rewarding. You know, find some things that you're interested in, but once again, serving, we're here to serve our constituents, and set up your office in a way that is what you do first and best, and you'll be fine.
The other thing I was thinking, he mentioned about the paper, I know Alexa, I give her access to the Dayton, the Springfield Daily News online, and I have two subscriptions to the two other small cities that are near me, and I send them to my office. She can go through them. But what that made me remember was take opportunity of folks in your district, high school students, college students who would like to be interns. If you are close enough for them, if Springfield's only 55 minutes away, if you have the opportunity to have somebody come in, or I know we found somebody that was going to Ohio State that wasn't from my district, but they're interested in being an intern, we had them come in. Use that. Those desks right outside your office are for the interns. Have somebody come in. Give them a job, you know, going over the paper and finding things. One of the things we do is I take the condolence folders, and I turn those into what we call fomendations. It's not a commendation, it's a fomendation. And we just put a nice piece of paper in there and put a letter with the seal that just has my signature, not the speaker's signature. And we'll use that for ways to commendate. What are we doing? Commend some of my district that doesn't meet the guidelines of a commendation, but people like that. We had a gentleman that passed away, an older gentleman that had developmental disabilities. He was called Freddie Biker. I don't know what his name was. He was a great young man, older man that passed away. He was developmentally disabled. He fixed bikes and gave them away to kids. He passed away, and we sent the commendation. They read it at the funeral for this man who had nobody, you know, that supported him. It was in the paper, front page of the paper, and them reading my commendation and how it meant so much to them. You don't know how much, you know, I know who I am. I know who you guys are. You're not as important as you think. I'm not as important as I think. But to our constituents, you can really make a difference by, you know, reaching out and using the title you have to make a big deal out of something very small that maybe no one will ever recognize.
This might be for the AIDS. Did they come with templates of letters or letters that went from the past, or did you have to create everything by yourself?
The fomentations? Or anything?
Templates on all types of letters.
Sure. Well, like Kyle mentioned, I worked in the Senate before, and so I stole the Senate's templates and changed them. They would not be happy if they knew that. But yeah, we just circulate them around. We're all pretty, if you need it, you can have it. So if your aide needs it.
Actually, if whatever the issue is, he'll just tell me a couple sentences and then I build a personal letter around what he wanted me to say. And then I always have him look at it. I've gotten pretty good at signing his name. If he's not in Columbus, I can sign it pretty much like him. And we kind of think for our office that looks better than the stamp because it looks like a real signature, but he has really pretty handwriting for a guy.
Yeah, I'll read some of the commendations, the fomentations, and I think, wow, I sound really good.
Yeah. And you know, Representative Kohler mentioned the trust, and you build that, and as you respond to things, I think it's important as you develop that trust and that relationship. Take the time to work with your aide when you're putting the information together. Don't just throw them something with no ideas or no thoughts and expect them to do something and then come back and you're not happy with what happened or you hear about it. So, you know, take a little time to work with them and give them some ideas on particular issues, and then over time you'll be surprised how much you think alike and you start getting. You don't have to do that, and you can rely on them to do the responses.
And those certificates, I mean, I can't speak for the reps for the cities, but in our rural, I mean, they think they're like gold, and we get thank you notes all the time. I brought even some of the thank you cards that people received. We did, Jack even, we have a postcard for things that commendations can't be made for, but like an engagement, you can't request that, but we send them the engagement because, you know, if you're in the paper, your mom goes and buys 5 copies of the paper so grandma can have one and everything else. We send them that engagement picture, and Jack has had people tweet them with, you know, thank you, Jack, Sarah, for recognizing our engagement. So it's really amazing how those paper documents, how people really do like them.
If I could comment on that too, I work for a congressman, and we joined up with Larry Alcoff and some commissioners, and we helped a fundraiser, and we provided proclamations for a Special Olympic baseball team that had won, and it helped the community come together because we were there as well. The congressman was going to be there, the state senator was going to be there, and the look on their eyes when they're getting handed something, and it's in the paper, it's
right.
There's no downside to it.
Well, we have special little 8.5 by 11 paper that looks like a commendation, but like the event with the 911 event that they, or 9/11 event that they did for recognizing all the first responders, and we did a personal one. I did a personal thing and Jack signed it. But they love those. They love those.
I have LSC has parameters on what you can get an actual accommodation.
I have one last thing I meant to say. Something that Kyle does that I love is he tells me that I do a good job all the time. So be sure that you're vocal about that with your aide. I recently got asked to interview for a different position, and Kyle told the member, no, you can't interview her, but I know that that would be good for her. So that just makes me feel like I'm doing a good job, and I appreciate that.
I think my words were no, but you cannot stop these folks from being for going on the path they need to go on. I cannot stop her from going to where she needs to go. So realize that. I mean, look out for your aides. They're working hard. If you work hard to run a good office, to treat them with respect, they will work hard for you. And that is the key to your success here. It really is.
Just a question on staff development. What type of services are available either through the LSC or through the caucuses to develop? Because a lot of people,
Go ahead, Jack. You've been here longer than I have.
Well, I think staff here tends to help each other, first of all. But formally, yes, I think admin has a number of creates a number of opportunities on computer things and on other things to help them with staff development. And I think LSC continues to send out information and provide other. Through the administrative staff, there's a lot of opportunities. Am I right, or am I telling a fib?
Sure. I ask for help a lot. Just anybody around me, any other aides that maybe have been here longer. Like I said, I used to work in Senator Obhoff's office, so I'll call him. If I have an issue with something, you kind of just have to be resourceful. LSC, like Kim said, they draft all of our legislation and commendations. If we need something to be researched and don't know where to find it, I'll ask them. I even think we've started to do mentor aides, is that correct? Where a new aide will come in and be buddied up with a veteran aide, if you will, just to help them through the process. I would encourage your aide to ask a lot of questions and ask for help and not be ashamed to do so.
Pam doesn't.
That's not true.
Just don't ask for it. Just make sure she doesn't give you the Edith Bunker version for those.
Yeah, it's in front of your constituents, you know, might not want to sound like you don't know what you're doing. But the fact of the matter is you got a lot of things to learn. Your aide has a lot of things to learn. There are folks here to support us. I know Alexa worked very, very hard on one bill with another aide. The bill would not have made it as far as it did if it hadn't have been for her hard work behind the scenes. We've got other parts of our lives that happen back in our districts. And, I came up with an idea for a bill, and if it wasn't for the aides working on it together, my joint sponsor's aide and my aide, it would not have happened, and it wouldn't have been the bill it's been. Also, there's other legislators here. I'm not a lawyer. I'm a businessman. I'm from the private sector. When I came here, if you would have asked me, do I want my son to be a lawyer, I would have said, no way. Now that I'm here, I'm like, wow, I'd love to see my son be a lawyer, because those are the folks I'm going to when I'm writing legislation about arson, and I realize if I define abandoned home in this piece of legislation, I've got Representative Rezabek coming to me going, Kyle, you are out of your mind. You just screwed up the entire revised code. You've sent a ripple through that code. You need to do it a different way. So get to know the other folks that are here. Work with them. Somebody said something earlier, and I'm going to end with I won't go on, but and now I just lost my train of thought. Oh, from before, I just want to say this because somebody up here said it. Voting no, voting yes on bills. Talk with the other folks that are here. Don't just vote no. You know, I don't care whether you vote no on my bill or not, but for goodness sakes, talk to one another about why you're doing it. Because if you're voting no, I'd like to know why, just so I can learn. I might not agree with you. I'm not going to be offended. I'm going to be mad at you. But talk to each other. Don't just vote no and go home, because you've done nothing at that point but hit a red button. But you need to talk to people about why you're voting no on something if you're voting no. Just explain yourself and then go home.
We're going to have to stop this session now because the next one is very important on how to understand bills, not a specific topic, but just in general, what legislation looks like in Ohio and what documents are there. We'll do that, a short one, before lunch, and then we'll go into lunch. So thank you very much to our panelists.